Welcome back to the preview show, folks. You're listening to Dermot Liddy, and I have guests with me, our commentator at most of our games, away games anyway, you'll hear, if you tune in and listen, is Kevin McDade. And we are joined as well by James O'Toole from the RTE squad as well. So we'll kick off the show. We have lots and lots to discuss about, and there's lots of topics, so we're going to have to bear with us as we fly through it all, because the show is, of course, we've got Cork City and the Brandywell. 5:45 kickoff, that wee bit earlier. Neil Fenn's in town with his Rebel Army. So, and it's a league game, and it's a game that Derry must win. But before we come on to that, I'm going to talk to the guests about everything else around Derry City. And what we usually do, first of all, is we usually recap, and we have a look back. The last show we done was just before the St. Pat's Athletic game, and Kevin and I were on commentary. And Kevin, it was such a much, much better performance from Derry, and it raised expectation levels.
Yeah, it did. I think the first game back against Sligo, Dermot, had just been such a shock. It had been so flat because they were so outplayed by Sligo. You know, it wasn't a case that it was unlucky. So then it was great to go to St. Pat's and really put in a performance there, and get those goals, get out of there with 3 points and get back up the road. So it was definitely a good way to get started, or to get restarted after a bit of a false start against Sligo the previous Friday.
Well, James, then straight after that, we had the league leaders and absolutely flying at Shamrock Rovers, and Derry put on again another decent performance, but again, I mean, like the last couple of seasons when they come up against the top two in Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, they came away empty-handed this time at the Brandywell. And in the end, it was hard luck, but, you know, they never got the result.
Yeah, was it hard luck or was it bad judgment? I'm not too sure, to tell you the truth. I think there were several players around the pitch that could have been taken off much earlier than they were in that game. They all put on a massive shift. It's not easy playing against what is essentially a massive full-time club who are full-time. I know Derry is a full-time club as well, but these are professional footballers who live and eat football. They're set out in a way. They're going to run away with the league as was. They're doing incredibly good. They set out their game plan. But just as the first goal went in, there were two or three players who were shattered and should have been taken off the pitch before this first goal went in. And then that just... I was listening actually... To go away from this sport, I was listening to Eric Donovan last night. Eric Donovan did an interview last night after his fight in London at the weekend. And his thing was that the small little bits were wearing them down. And in that game against Shamrock Rovers, you could see the small little bits were starting to wear down the Derry defence and the Derry holding midfielders. And I think a decision should have been made earlier in that game to substitute them. Like, we're allowed to make five subs. They haven't made five subs yet since we've come back. And I think that's the ultimate what hurt Derry there. Great performance. But you don't get points for great performances. You get points for scoring goals and making sure you don't let in goals.
Well, you might get points for good first half performances, Kevin. And that was certainly the case down at Shelburne. You know, a decent first half from Derry again, and then drifted away. Albeit Shelburne being the home team had to come back into it. And they did so. And again, you know, another poor bit of marking for... basically a free header to equalise. And then Derry react again. Kevin, they seem to react when they go behind or a team levels against them, because they produced a couple of flashes of great attacking shows in the closing stages, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Like, I know that Kevin McLaughlin, who's a regular on here, obviously, and a regular on the commentary, they were speaking to Declan and Paddy before the game. And the general consensus was, look, if we're not up for this and we don't compete, we could get turned over today. And yes, like, Derry got the goal in the first half, got the penalty. But really, it was all Shelburne in the second half. And, you know, there was a couple of chances before the goal went in. There was the one Kieran Cole appeared to have cleared off the line. And Shells were very fired up, very physical. I think I said on commentary, Gary Dempsey, you know, was really running the show in the middle of the park. And they hadn't had a great return, like James is probably in the lucky position with his day job. He was getting to see a lot more of footage before the Watch LOI platform came on. The rest of us now are having the joys that we can watch these games. Like Shells had a very similar performance against Waterford in their first game back that Derry did against Sligo. And Ian Morris was very much like, we need to compete. They certainly did that in the second half. As you talked about, Derry had chances towards the end, but Shells will feel that they had plenty of chances as well, and they probably could have nicked it. And so it was just then it turns to Friday, and you know just how close Derry and Cork now are, and you alluded to it being a must-win game for Derry. But you know, Declan talked about it, losing 8 points from winning positions is always going to put you in a difficult place, and you know, particularly your home games, you need to win because it's just so congested down there. A string of results will take you up to third or fourth, but a string of results the other way can see you suck back down towards the bottom as well at the minute because it's so tight.
It is. It is very tight at the moment. And as we entertain Cork, it's actually 8th against 9th, you know, but as Kevin just said, you know, like, a one for Derry against Cork, like a decent one, say a 2 or 3 niller, could put them on the fourth. That's how tight it is, and that's what Kevin's just explained. You know, a string of results will get them out of that relegation area, shall we say. And as I say, we've lots of things to talk about. So just for those who like the stats, and that it was exactly 1 year since it was the first penalty Derry had in exactly a year down at Shells. And another thing that, I mean, this really surprised me when I found out this stat was the defeat to Shamrock Rovers was the first time in 12 years that Derry City lost a home game when leading at halftime. And there's an amazing stat there. So, I mean, I couldn't blame me. I didn't do my homework on that. Now I have to give the thanks over to Brian Delevingne. And we were having a wee chat, and he told me that, and he's the club statsman. You know, I mean, that's a, well, I mean, that stat's gone now, but for 12 years, what a great thing they hold, but it's gone now. And just talking about things that are gone, what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to the bit of press conference from director Sean Barrett and listen to our chairman, Philip O'Doherty, on their take. We're talking about the Europa League first round qualifier over in Vilnius. And I'm going to let the two boys come in after we listen to the snippet of what both Sean Barrett and Philip O'Doherty have had to say on the matter.
Oh, well, I'm just reading literally the response back. I mean, I just sent an email there because we haven't heard anything, is the honest answer. And I'll actually read it out to you. So basically, it just says, look, we haven't heard nothing. The fact that the restrictions are that we have to quarantine for 14 days, which means Rickettsia are unable to fulfil a fixture. So as far as we're concerned, it's the game's off and we want the next round. Now, they've just come back here now and says, look, until the UEFA confirmed to us that it's off, it's still on. And they're looking for special dispensation, but they still haven't confirmed it yet. That's literally half off the press, so the answer is it's still doing good. As far as we're concerned, and Declan, we've already had this conversation. The game's on a Tuesday, we're preparing where we normally would, and we'll continue to do that. But obviously, I would have thought from today to day.
Well, the plane's paid for. We've done everything. We've done all the COVID testing. We've done everything. We've done everything we're supposed to do. But at the minute, the Lithuanian government are basically saying you can't come here unless you quarantine for 14 days, which is impossible. Like, that means that the football team couldn't go on the field. They would have to stay in the hotel. You know, that's the quarantine procedures. So like, until we hear different, we have to assume it's going to be off. But the likelihood is, I think, that something will happen to break that sort of deadlock that we have now. But it's certainly not of our doing. Like, Declan's job is to prepare the team for a game on Tuesday. We're prepared to fly on Monday. Albeit there won't be any... the directors won't be going because of the uncertainty. But the team will plan to be going with one or two officials just to make sure any paperwork or any last-minute requests, given the situation that we have, can be addressed there and then on the spot. But it's not a great situation, you know. But Declan has to forget about all this noise that's going on and basically say, we've got a game on Tuesday. Let's focus on that game.
Fantastic stuff. Well, these are the two experts. Both Kevin and James travel away to most games. I've been to a couple myself. But I'm going to have a go here. FK Ritieri, I don't know, but Ritieri, I don't know, but FKR, we'll call them from Vilnius. You know, you've got to ask a question. Is it on, Kevin? Is it off? Where are we? We're in limbo here. What's your thoughts on the matter?
So for now, and to allude to what Sean said there, you know, I think we have to take it that it's on until UEFA say otherwise, or we're in a scenario where something else comes into it. So even over the last couple of days, I'm sure James has been following it as well. You had the scenario where you had a team from Kosovo turn up to play in Gibraltar. They were tested on arrival. A number of players tested positive. That game was called off. Linfield had the scenario before they went to Legia Warsaw where the team they were supposed to play couldn't play as well. But for now, it's on. You know, yes, there are these restrictions going into Lithuania with Ireland being put on that list. But, you know, if you take that, the team are travelling by charter. They will fly, they will go to the hotel, they will train. You know, they're not really coming into big exposure with the local populace. So unless UEFA give a ruling, and I know Sean talked about, like, you know, they're obviously pushing to say, well, we can't fulfill this. I think they already have to plan on the fact that it's there, that it's on. It's just, I think it makes it very challenging for Declan, because you're either looking, you have three games in a week, or do you have a game which is maybe moved to a neutral venue, which that could be another wild card, or are you actually just a Cork game this week and a Drogheda game next week? And player management and all those type of things, that makes that very challenging. But for now, I think we have to plan that it's all.
Well, just a touch there on part of your answer, Kevin. James, can they move it to a neutral venue? Is that possible? I mean, one of these UEFA hubs, that one of the areas that they would consider safe to play a game, where's the possibilities, if that is a possibility? Where can these games happen? Or are you of the opinion the same as Kevin? Get ready for the game even though it mightn't happen.
I would be of the opinion that at this very moment in time, there's no chance in hell of this game going ahead in Lithuania. It's not going to happen. UEFA can't change a government's plans on this. They've put the UK and Ireland off the green list, the same way the Irish government had Lithuania on the green list, but has had, like, Slovenia, for instance, who Dundalk took on just a couple in the last number of hours yesterday. They had to change their game to Hungary. It's up to the home team at this stage to pick out a neutral venue to play a game in. Unfortunately, soundings this afternoon suggest that Hungary are about to put Ireland and the UK off their green list as well. So that rules out Hungary, which also puts in Bo's game on Thursday in doubt as well. So at this very moment in time, the game won't go ahead in Lithuania. The only place I can actually think of it going ahead of right now is probably the Faroe Islands or Iceland or somewhere like that that's on green lists and do actually check travellers coming into the country at the airport. So no matter how many tests you have, they do a test at the airport anyway. So they're two of the countries I can think of games going ahead in now as part of hubs. But as it stands, UEFA have got to make a decision on this in the next 24 hours, not just from a Declan Devine point of view of having to arrange who plays in which game, but you have to arrange travel to these grounds. And although a charter has been pre-booked, who's to say that charter now hasn't gone off somewhere else, or if the charter has to do a double stop on the way, it needs to plan its route no matter where it goes. At the moment, I'd 100% be happy to say it's not going to happen in Lithuania.
Well, there you have it, folks. It's Derry City are tinkering on the edge of no game, and Vilnius coming this Tuesday. But that's the way things are under the restrictions of COVID-19. And just to inform the listeners out there that it's with a sad and heavy heart that I was to go myself and be part of the co-commentary team for the Match Night Live team on Drive 105. And of course, Kevin, guest on the show, was going to be the commentator. And, we've lost out in our flights to that. And it's a game that if it does go ahead, but James is very confident that it's not going to go ahead, that the Match Night Live team was going to bring to you, but due to self-isolation for 14 days when we arrived there and not being able to go out of the hotel, we are not going. So it's with a heavy heart that I have to say we're not traveling to Vilnius, much to the delight of our better halves who are applauding in the background because we were rubbing it in. But there you go. That's that's just the way that is. That's you can't be smug all the time and get away with it. But there you go.
So you're going to have a 14-day self-isolation no matter what. It was just going to be on when you come home. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's exactly what I was suggesting. So with a heavy heart, I got to move on to the next part. So what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to what the manager, Declan Devine, has been talking about ahead of the game against Cork. And, of course, he signed a one-year extension to his contract. And our man, Patrick Cook, was posing the questions to Declan Devine.
Declan, how do you get the contract out of the way now and focus on football?
Listen, the focus has never been away from football. My contract was, to a certain extent, irrelevant because, you know, every game counts, every match counts, but, you know, obviously you're delighted for an extension. But it's more a reflection of everybody at the club pulling in the one direction. It's nothing to do with just Declan Devine. It's got to do with everybody in the backroom team. You know, the assistant manager's as good an assistant as I think in the whole of the country. I'd be lost without him, couldn't do the job. You know, with people like Paddy McCourt, Marty McCann, Michael Hegarty. So it's a reflection for everyone that's working hard behind the scenes. Ultimately, this is about driving the club forward. I'm delighted that the board and Philip believe in me to do that, but let's not underestimate that we've got to get better this year, right? We have a points tally that we're not extremely proud of. We want to improve that. We feel we can improve that, and that starts with a huge game on Friday. And my whole focus this week has been on Cork City. It hasn't been about contracts. It hasn't been about my future. It's been about making sure we turn up on Friday night and have a good performance and a favourable result.
Of course, you mentioned Cork City there. What is your thoughts on that game ahead?
Difficult game. They've had a bit of form, which everybody seems to do when we're playing them. But look, I've got to concentrate on ourselves. Cork have played three games, drew away to Waterford 0-0, beat Longford 1-0 in the Cup, and had a fantastic result against Sligo in 1-3-0. So, look, they'll be coming here confident. They'll come here knowing that they've prepared well, travelled up today, but we'll be very focused ourselves. We were hurting after our second half performance on Saturday, and the focus from the players all week has been fantastic. And look, we got to just make sure we treat the game on its merits. We have a strong squad, and we'll make sure that we are right at it from the very first whistle.
Of course, what is the team news going into the game?
Everyone's fit except Ali Gilchrist, who also got good news this week in terms of his injury isn't as bad as first feared. He will be out for a couple of weeks and not such long term as we feared last week. So Ali's a huge loss for us, but you have people like Darren Cole, Mark McChrystal. So there's a lot of players, a lot of competition for places. I think in our midfield area, we've got so much competition and everybody brings a different quality to the table. You know, when you look at Conor McCormick, Gerard O'Brien, Kieran Harkin, Jack Malone, Jake Dunwoody, Conor Clifford, you know, Joe Thompson, there's so many options there. And we're going to need those options. Like this week alone, we've got a huge league game. We then have a huge European game, and then in the space of 8 days, we have a huge FAI Cup game. So that shows you a magnitude of it, and we got to make sure that we're ready for each one, and the first one comes tomorrow night.
Of course, you brought on cover this week Cameron McJanet from Stoke City to recover for Ali. What do you find you'll get out of that young lad?
Listen, I don't think it's just for cover. It's to come on and be competitive and claim a place in the team. He's an aggressive centre-back that can also play at left-back. He has a really good pedigree, having trained with Stoke the senior team for a long period of time, as is Jake Dunwoody. So, look, everybody's at different levels of fitness. I think it'd be a great addition to us moving forward. And as I say, look, we've a lot of good young players coming through as well. Boys like Patrick Ferry, Michael Harris, Keegan Porter, you know, Evan McLaughlin, who's been outstanding, Oren McLaughlin. So we've a lot of good young players at the club. What we need to do now is just really get our heads on in terms of claiming as many points as we possibly can, because it's well documented we've given points away we shouldn't be giving away. When we're ahead in games, we haven't seen it out. So look, we've had a good chat this week and we focus on making sure we get 3 points come Friday.
Of course, there's a big game next week, but it's sort of stop start this week. We don't know if it's on or off. You just focus on
to be honest, look, the club is doing everything in its power. We haven't done anything wrong. We have went by the book in everything that we've done this season, you know, whether that's players self-isolating when we brought them into the country, which I have my doubts that all clubs are doing. I also believe that, you know, the club behind the scenes here have worked extremely hard with the FAI and UEFA to make sure the game goes ahead. But, you know, these restrictions are out of our hands. We have to go by what the rule book says. And as far as I'm concerned, we're playing Cork City on Friday night. That's the most important thing of my week. After the Cork City game then, we've already done a lot of homework on the European tie, so we'll see that then on Saturday.
Thank you, Darren.
Good man yourself, Patrick. Very, very good indeed. Contract extension, Kevin. Good news for Derry and that all that uncertainty is gone. The fans, all the rumours that were around this last week or two about a disappearing act come October and all that, Declan's put that to bed.
Yeah, he has indeed. I think some people in Derry already had him set up and coaching teams in America and houses bought and all these types of things. I'm sure you heard the same as me, Dermot. But I think for a couple of reasons, look, you know, as soon as you get from sort of any normal season, and I wonder how many times we're going to use that expression, you know, it's this time of the year that you start to look around and see, like, you know, who's coming out of contract. You know, who do you build for next year? Who are you signing on for a couple more years? And if your manager is staying, that gives a bit of a platform to build that on. You know, players don't want to commit if they think, well, he's not going to be there or that's going to change. So I think it gives some certainty around that. I think it's a good backing from Philip on the board to Declan to say, look, you know, this season has been very mixed for many reasons, both on and off the field, and injuries and all those type of things. But look, let's continue to build for the future. As Declan said in his own press conference there, look, he came in with a job to do. It's very much he feels a work in progress. And, you know, sometimes that might feel that you're taking a step back to take a couple of steps forward, but it's very much still, you know, he feels that there is a journey to go when he feels that he can bring something to this team, to this squad, to get Derry back to where they want to be challenging. And ultimately, you have to look at his record in his two spells at the club. There have been cup finals. There have been European qualifications. You know, you look at Dundalk last night, spending and losing a significant amount more than Derry on an annual basis. Like, Dundalk lose 600,000 a year, and they're still going out of Europe in the first round. So there's different challenges, but Declan now has another year to keep building for what he sees as his vision.
It does indeed. And, well, as Kevin alluded to there, James, Declan, he has committed his future to Derry, but it also shows a lot of trust and confidence from the board and particularly the chairman, Phil Moderney.
Yeah, it does. And I think for any manager, you want your first season, you're done. Your second season is really where you prove yourself. But unfortunately, this second season hasn't been a normal season. Like, we've only got 10 games left in the season. So I think it's only right you give him another year, and that way you see what he does in that year. Because this isn't a normal year. Look, as Kevin said, look at Dundalk. They're third in the table, out of Europe, in very bizarre circumstances last night with the way they defended and stuff like that. The stuff you've never seen from the Dock before. They were always generally solid at the back, a couple of mistakes. So it's only fair that in a season like this, Declan gets another go at it. And the fact that it's come so early in the season, he has 10 games now to look at who he has in his squad before he decides who stays and who goes and who he brings in. So that homework for next season has started now in a positive note, with the management and the backroom staff all there in place, knowing that they will be here come February 2021.
Yes, indeed. So we've got to move on to tonight, or the Cork game, I should say. And just to let the listeners know that the last couple of shows we have done socially distanced by the wonder of technology and Zoom, where I can interview both Kevin and James in the Dublin area. I don't even know what Dublin postcodes. I won't even say them because
he's in the posh part. I'm yes, not. That's all you need to know.
They're very highfalutin, those area codes, shall I say. So we do it via Zoom, and it's pre-recorded ahead of the game. To say we entertain the Rebel Army. Neil Fenn has his men in town, and So it's after eight games. Derry sitting eighth with 8 points. And you see that? 8-8-8. I'm not a betting man. You see what I've done there? But I'm not a betting man, but you know, Cork haven't scored any goals.
Not a comedian either.
And you can see the Zoom call listeners, the two boys have their heads in their hands going, I don't believe he's gone there for the 8-8-8. Anyway, but it is 8th against 9th. Not so much worrying, as the boys have said, that we get a string of results together, we can shoot up the table. But Cork are on the back of a nice 3-0 win last week over Sligo, Kevin. And their new recruits coming in have added a bit more prowess to the attack. And this isn't a gimme by any stretch of the imagination for Derry.
Definitely not, Dermot. A couple of weeks ago, Neil Fenn looked under a bit of pressure. You know, they were heading into that game. You know, I was watching the game against Longford. Longford, if they had somebody up front, that game would have been over in ordinary time. Cork get that last-minute goal, you know, wild celebrations. As people said, it looked as if Neil Fenn was celebrating winning the cup final, never mind winning a tie at home. But then they push on from that. Really good result against Sligo. You know, and you could see the results that Sligo have picked up against us and, you know, last week as well against Waterford. You know, they've added Connor Simpson, I think, comes under the reckoning for them as well this week. He's finished his quarantine period. So not dissimilar to what Declan had coming into the Shells game. Finally, Neil Fenn is going with a full deck of cards. They will come and look at it and again say, look, this Derry team you can get at. You can score against them. For us, a draw would be a fantastic result. So if we score once, we can hold on to that. If we get out of there with a point, that's still a great result for us. It keeps us in touch. It's a point away from home. So it's certainly not a gimme for Derry. And yes, there have been flashes, as we talked about, probably the Bows second half and the first half against Shamrock Rovers, probably Derry's best performances. But as you talked about right at the very start, putting that together into a cohesive 90 minutes, I think has been the challenge so far. And with so few games, you need to do that once or twice, particularly if you're looking into a very big week as well of potentially like this game, Europe on the middle of the week, and then a cup game next weekend as well. Derry will be trying to replicate that momentum that Cork seem to have got together with those couple of wins on the spin.
Well, the Derry attacking options, James, I mean, Akintunde and Mita scoring under Davey, or Mita scoring from the penalty spot, but he still has to stick it away. Adam Hamill come on and showed bits of impressive skill. This is a chance for Derry because, as I said, Cork, they've only won two games, no away wins, no goals, 10 goals against them. And, I mean, this is a time now for Derry maybe to show what they're attacking. You know, as you were saying there, Kevin, about fans watching in the League of Ireland, the watch on the internet, the fans probably can see these players now, James, if Derry get at Cork tomorrow evening.
Yeah, I think from Declan's point of view, he has a couple of new attacking options. From another bonus point of view, he's seen Cork. They haven't scored away from home since last August. So it's August 2019 was the last time they scored away from home. So that's a bonus as well. The other bonus is that they're not very good, they're not very big for set pieces, which has been Derry's downfall since we come back. Giving away set pieces, goals from set pieces have been shocking. But they did prove on last Tuesday night and then again at the weekend, they're quite quick on the wings and playing little triangles from the wing and pushing it inside. Elliot, who played and scored, ironically, from the penalty spot for his debut goal, just a bit like Mite did against Shelburne, looks a very, very good signing. Looks like a big lad who can hold the ball up, but not just hold the ball up, but bring guys into it and then go and attack the box. So there will be other challenges that weren't there against the likes of Shelburne, where Deegan's controlling the ball and playing stuff from the middle. They'll try and go round Derry, and they'll try to get Derry along the wings and then cut back in, which is what they've done a couple of times. So they're challenges for Derry, but again, with the attacking options they have, Hammond in particular, I thought was excellent. Derry should just have this.
Well, what I usually do is I usually fire on Ref Watch, and I'll very quickly fly through it because time is catching up with us because we had so much to talk about. Referee for the Derry Cork game is Paul McLaughlin, the 41-year-old FIFA Donegal native. Takes charge of a sixth league game of the season. He's already handed out 18 yellows and 2 reds. They refereed Derry there on the 31st of July against Sligo when we suffered our home defeat 2-0. In that game, he cautioned both Owen Toole and Conor Clifford. Do you know what? Paul is a very good referee, but he's not a lucky omen for Derry, as we have only won 2 of the last 13 games under his watch. And that was down at Sligo in 2018 and St Pat's away last year when we won in Inchicore 3-1. And not only that, at home, we have lost 6 and drawn 3 of the last 9 games he did. So no wins. And in fact, you have to go back to the Dundalk game at McGinn, where he refereed a home one, but that was at McGinn. So he's not a lucky omen, so I hope it breaks tomorrow night for him. It's time for me to wrap it up. I always wrap it up with a prediction, but before I do that, I must remind you that we have done this by Zoom, socially distanced, all protocols followed. It was great talking to James and Kevin, both in Dublin. So that's the wonder of technology, as I said. Unfortunately, we won't be able to bring you the game on Tuesday in the Europa League qualifier in Vilnius because of travel restrictions. And a thanks to my guest, James O'Toole from RTE, and one of our pundits and our commentator on Match Night Live, Kevin McDade. It's great chatting to you. So I'll round it up with our prediction. And I'll tell you what, I'll go to you first, James, because you may put the pressure on Kevin McDade. So give us a wee prediction for the game.
Cork, I feel, will definitely score. So I'm going to go with a 2-1 win.
And, okay, over to you, Kevin, for the final shout of the evening.
Yeah, so I agree with James. I think Cork will score, and I think it'll be a 1-1 because of that. So a point at home and still tight as it was at the bottom.
There we go. That's the way you have it, folks. That's our guest, James O'Toole from the RTE, and Kevin McDade, our commentator on the Match Night Live team. Great chat, news. That's the predictions. A home one from James and a draw from Kevin. So I can't say anything other than what I want as a one. It's been great. You've been listening to Dermot Liddy on the Match Night Live preview show. And it's time to hand you over to the boys in the commentary. Everybody stay safe and look after yourselves. That's me signing off.